Okay, gentlemen, tonight we're going to be learning a famous and equally important halacha. The whole concept of medicines really should be discussed in those next few se'ifim. So again, we spoke about, what is it about, we learned this distinction between Balei Ro'eh, Balei Matzeh, and on the one hand, and then it's of eating, which is a different prohibition altogether. Now we're going to, let's speak a bit more detailed about, let's go into greater details now. See, base, page Yudalet. That's an important sif. Hapas atzmo, the bread itself. As Timon Tov Mem, base, sif, base, second line, page Yudalet. Hapas atzmo, the bread itself. Sheif sho, if it's gone moldy. Venifsalo, and it's rendered unedible. Melechol hakelev, the dog cannot eat it anymore, which we commonly know as. That's right, it's not roel achilas kelev, that's right. Umelugma shenisrecho, which is a similar kind of thing. Mishnah explains umelugma, is a kind of bandage, which is made out of various ingredients, including flour. A person will normally bite that, or the mloyes, venoisnal gabem, you bite that, and afterwards you put it on the wounds. That's umelugma. It contains wheat. So if that's gone nisrecho, that's gone all moldy and off. Enoichayv levay, you do not need to remove that before Pesach. So the first example is bread proper, bread itself, which has gone moldy. If it's come to the stage that a dog wouldn't eat it, then it's you don't have to remove it. It's bread. It's bread. Yeah, nevertheless, you don't have to remove it. And similarly, also this bandage, which contains wheat flour. Says the Mishnah Berurah and Sif Katan Tes. Sheifsha, fourth line from the top. Dafka sheifsha koidem zman isura. This is only referring to bread, which has gone moldy, before Pesach. Tim ifsha achaz zman isura, but if it's gone moldy after Pesach started, even if it's gone so moldy that it's not roil achilas kelef anymore, mid Pesach, it's suddenly gone really, really moldy. But at the beginning of Pesach, it was fine. Mikon mokum, nevertheless, chayv levaya, you still got to remove it. Kivin shenis chayv, or koidim shenis afsha, because at one point when Pesach came in, he was still considered bread, and therefore it's got a shame chometz, and therefore even after it's gone moldy, you still have to remove it, although it's not roi l'achilas kelev anymore. Sivkot nyud, melechol ha-kelev, do'oz eni chai b'viyu, if the bread has gone so far off that the dog wouldn't touch it, what about foxes? I don't know what the... Pardon? If it's gone so bad that a dog wouldn't touch it, then it's not chayv levaya. Now the Mishnah Berurah explains over here a very important reason. Why is it that chometz nifsal achilas kelef, you're not chayv levaya? The Mishnah Berurah says if caught nude, melechol hakelef, the ozen chayv b'viyu, you're not required to remove it. The havre, because it is ka'afu ba'alna, it's like dust. Can somebody explain that chemically? How do you feel about moldy bread? Is it like dust? How do you feel about that? It's insignificant. Is it because of its significance?
Depends how moldy it is, I suppose. It's very, very, very moldy. The whole thing's mold. Then I guess it is.
Yeah.
The whole thing, if it's just a bit moldy on the crust on the side, then no.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. Continues Mishnah Berurah, because I want to ask about this in a minute. Avalim noy nifsal mechilas kelev. But if it is not sufficient moldy, if a dog would still eat it, avshel odom niskalkel, although a person wouldn't touch it, it's not good enough for a man. But a dog wouldn't touch it. Mikol mokum, nevertheless, adain chayv levayik chometz komu. It's considered chometz komu. Mipnei shiroi lechamer bo isus achero is because there is still a use in it. That's really the bottom line. Now, I want to just ask something. How do we define nowadays nifsal mechilas kelef? I was a few times mesupik in my own house. about the definition of nifs mechilas keref? I tell you, we sometimes keep bread to give to the ducks. Yeah, and then, you know, sometimes it's not particularly fresh, you know, if you... And I wonder sometimes, it could be a little bit moldy. And I wonder at times, at what stage is it something which is not really mechilas keref? And I want to add something to that. What do you think? When is it? Is that what it is?
No, when it's green, no, it's completely green. Green all over it. Not necessarily completely green, but it's...
Yeah. That's a very short... I don't know what the point... Yeah, where's the red line?
I want to suggest something as well. I want to add something to that, just to make things... In order to help us defining what is considered en roi l'achilas kelev. I had a few months ago, I had a conversation with a... person who owned a dog and was very into the dog, and interestingly, that person told me, he told me that, you know, my dog won't eat this and he prefers that, and gave me lots of details about the diet of the dog of his dog, which I thought was actually interesting. I thought, it's interesting, his dog likes this and doesn't like that. Okay, very nice, but I was wondering. Therefore, I'm honestly, I don't know enough about dogs. Yeah. Ah, that's what it is. Very good. Okay, you've answered my question. My question would have been, but you're right, you're definitely right. My question would have been, if there is such a thing as you know, a diet of dogs prefer this and dogs prefer that, I was thinking that dogs which are pampered nowadays and are part of the, so there might be much more, I don't know, they're likely to be much more fussy. Certainly with the way they're treated is with much more care and understanding. And it might, therefore, if a dog like this will not eat something, I don't know, is it still considered? If he doesn't touch it, it could be that for other, you know. So the answer is, I think Rabbi Frankel is quite right. He said that must be the defining point. That we're looking at wild dogs. It's not, you take it, don't define it according to the dogs which are very much looked after and have developed culinary, what's the word? We're talking about much more the wild dogs and what will they actually not touch anymore. Truth is that I was thinking when I was living in Eretz Yisrael, a good way of defining it, you know, there's the stray cats which are everywhere in Eretz Yisrael, and they'll eat anything. They just live off the rubbish, very, very literally. And I think that would be a good way of defining it. It doesn't have to be a dog. I suppose a cat might be within the same. You know which cats I'm referring to? Yeah, you throw the rubbish into the thing, and then like four cats jump out. Yeah, so those cats. Yerushalayim is much worse. Yeah, yeah, it's not so bad. Yeah, Yerushalayim is particularly bad. So that's probably the way to. That's probably a similar kind of gather. Okay, Eino Roel Machilas Kelef, and the reason is again very importantly in the Mishnah Musaf Kotniut Tahava Ka'afu Be'alma. It's considered like dust. Yeah.
At
that point it's still considered chametz for sure. The question is, when does it lose its shame chametz? Mishnah doesn't tell us that. Is still certainly, if you can use it for other isos, then it's certainly still considered chametz. The question is, at what point does it lose its name chametz? Mishnah only tells us in line with the Shulchan Aruch that it's if it's in a roi l'achilas kelev. Yeah, let's see a few more examples on that. I want to say that at times you have chametz which we find not very appetizing, and at times we find in the house chametz which are, the crumbs and the bits and the pieces that are left in the back of the cupboard and stuff, and we don't find it particularly appetizing. We wouldn't necessarily touch it, but we have to remember that's still considered chametz kovo. Even if we wouldn't touch it, it's not considered enor lachilas kelev. You give it to any dog, this old wafer which to us looks a bit moldy and a bit unappetizing. She gave that old wafer, which is the bottom of the cupboard, fell behind the thing. Fell behind the couch. Maybe in the couch for the last 11 months. And that might still be considered chametz kovo, although you wouldn't touch it. Because it's eno roi l'achilas odom, you wouldn't touch it, but a dog would love it. So we have to just remember that. See, Gimel. Godim shekivsu oysom b'chelev chitob. Okay, now this is... basically starch, clothing, which was washed, Bechelef chito, with wheat. Yeah, it's basically the equivalent of starch. Vechen yorois, and similarly also papers, sheets, shedipku oisam bechomets, which were glued on together with chomets. Here again, a starch kind of glue kind of mixture. Vechol chiyotze, was anything similar to that, mutter lekaimon bePesach. You're allowed to keep it on Pesach. Why? Here the reason is, she'ein tzuras ha'chometz ha'medes, because the tzura, the shape of chometz, is not there anymore. She'ein tzuras chometz ha'medes. It's not chometz anymore because it lost completely its entire, how should we translate it? She'ein tzuras chometz literally means that it has the substance. Yeah, so we're going to speak about perfume. Let's hold on a minute. But yes, what else? How should we say? In Tzuras Chometz?
Substance.
Form, yeah. It's not, yeah. Continues the Ramah, importantly. You are allowed to stick, therefore, use glue and stick papers on the window within 30 days of Pesach. I don't exactly know what the scenario is over here. Can you?
They used to
as a glue. Nyorois sheets. I'm not sure what the purpose of that is. Wallpaper. Wallpaper. Nyorois bechalon is a window. Maybe a kind of insulation, perhaps. I don't think so because the bechalon is on the window.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Oh, okay. Let's speak about that in a minute. I want to speak about Bishlam Zalman in a minute. For Yesh Machmirin im Nira Bebechutz. Here comes the Ramah with an unexpected chumrah. So we understood. It's really a very unexpected chumrah, and we've got to get clear about this. It's really important. So we learned initially that anything which is en roi l'achilas kelev is not considered chometz. All right, I'm happy with that. And then comes the next lema, that clothing which had contained starch, glue, anything of that sort, which ain't to as chometz or medes, that it hasn't got the shape, the form of chometz, that's fine as well. No bali roi. Nobody motze and Shalom al Yisrael. Okay, very good. Now comes the Ramah and tells us, you know, actually, when it comes to the glue, if it's visible externally, then yesh machmir. There are some people who are machmir. Suddenly, once a minute. I just a minute ago said, and to us chometz it's fine. I just said that, and oroy mechilas kelev. It's all not considered chometz. And now suddenly it's telling us that actually if it's that glue that you want to use, I don't know if it's insulation or I don't know if it's just sticking something, if it's visible externally, you can still see that glue which contains chometz from the outside, it's not covered up, some people are machmir. If you look in the Bi'alacha to make things even more stringent, you look in the Bi'alacha on the side, top of page 28, it would appear from the consensus of the poskim, it appears, that we pasken, ideally, like this opinion. That's how he says, we should pasken like this opinion if possible. What does that mean, Alocha Lemaisa? Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Yud Zayin tells us a little bit of an explanation in this. That if it's visible externally, you can still see that glue externally. Although it's gone completely dry, nevertheless, it's still considered the tzura of the chometz is still there. It's not covered. It's still visible. You may not be able to see the chometz proper, but you can see this glue. And therefore, it's considered a problem. Therefore, we're machmir, and we don't use it. Now, my question is as follows: do you know? You spoke about vote labor signs, yeah, on the streets. Yeah. Okay. Vote liberal.
Brexit.
Vote Brexit. All right.
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah. So you have these bit. I thought it's even more common here. You don't really see. It's a bit more sophisticated, a bit more advanced. But it's sort of you go to any street, right? How do they hang up the levaya of Hagon and Tzadik, Marein and Rabbeinu? You know, how do they hang up? It's always that big. You know the Pashkevilles. You know, And then when his macha protests against this and this person and that person and the weekly macha, so you hang them the Pashkeviles.
What's that?
It's called Pashkeviles. It's the expression, I don't even know which language it is. It's Yiddish, I think. What? You're right. Yeah, I think that you also call it Pashkeviles. Yeah. So I don't know what. How do you call those things that you?
Like a note.
Yeah, the poster, and they go the poster, and they are glued on. I always thought it was water, pure water, but it's not. There is. You can see them. These Arabs. Yeah, they are paid like peanuts, and they. How you go in the morning? You know, you shouldn't see them. There's like all these massive. Walls, boards, and they hang them up one after the other. And it's advertisements, and then who was nifty yesterday, and the hesper tomorrow, and this. That's the news because you know that's how you. So. So that contains chametz. It does.
Still,
yeah. It's not edible. You're saying it's nifsel mechilas kelev. No dog is going to, even Israeli dogs probably won't. So you say nifsel mechilas kelev. Does everybody agree with that? I tell you, Pshim Zalman didn't agree with that. Pshim Zalman didn't agree with that. I also would have thought it's perfect in order. It's not Tzuras Chometz on it. It's not Nifsam Mechilas. Come along, Pshim Zalman. He says, you've got to be Machmeh on this. Because Rama says, V'yesh Machmeh, Nireh B'chot. He says, some of that glue is visible externally. You can see some of it on the external, on the side, you can see.
Covered by the post.
Yeah, but some of it is sticking out on the side. So Pshim Zalman was Machmeh on that. Although this is a Chumrah. This is a chumrah, and it appears to be a chumrah on top of a chumrah, but Shem Zaman said better to avoid it. It's very interesting. I wouldn't have expected it. Because the bits are sticking out.
Without scraping those bits off.
Oh, I see. Perhaps. Yeah, I don't know if that works. I've never. It could be. But Shem Zaman was concerned. Let's get this clear. Shem Zaman was concerned that yes, it's true. It's Elonim Samechilas Kelev. And yes, it's true that there's no Tzuras Chometz on it. But, nevertheless, if it's visible extent, Shem Zalman didn't allow to hang up these posters over Pesach. The only thing which he did allow, so I suppose, I suppose the instruction was for the people who commissioned those. So if you've got a company, you want to publicize a hesper, you want to publicize something, you want to advertise something, so you wouldn't be allowed to publicize it in that kind of format, in that because you'd be using chometz. Yeah, I suppose somebody has got owns it, or perhaps it's referring to the companies owning the publicity company. I'm not sure, but either way, Pshat Mizamad
did.
It's not Isano proper, but it's still considered Yesh Machmir Nir Vachutz. You're not allowed to. Oh, the inks on the egg. Let's think this through. The inks on the eggs, which is so there was rumors a couple. It's not so old, this chumrah. How old is chumrah? This was happened a few years ago. How? Started a few years ago. So a few years ago, they spread that the rumor was, I don't know if it was rabbinically, I don't know which rabbinical authority came from, but there was certainly something which went round, is that the stamp on the eggs contains starch and is a chometz. It's a chometz based. You know what I mean? The stamp on the egg. So I don't know. Is that the same shayla, or is it the shayla that you might end up eating it?
Yeah,
no, but when you crack it, it's yeah. Perhaps what you are referring to might be the Mishnah Berurah earlier. Can I just add something to because you are right in Mishnah Berurah cotton design, he could be. So we spoke a minute ago about the clothing which is being starched. That's also something, by the way. There's ongoing discussion about the starches, after ironing, you know, the starch. So there's been a lot of controversy about those starch-based sprays. There's a lot of discussion about it. Now, the obvious initial argument is going to be what? It's not a problem because it's not even a Mechilas Kelev. But if you look at Mishnah Berurah cotton to Zayin, you will note and you will see that the Mishnah Berurah states mutal kaim and mikol makom also nevertheless also latzia abgodim amechubasim pechelev chita lashulchan. If it is a starch based clothing, yes, it's true. Shulchan Aruch says It's no bali or bali motzen, it's fine. But you still got to avoid it, putting it on the table. Why? Why can't you put it on the table? If the starch contains chametz, you're going to put it on the table, what's going to be? You might end up eating it. You might ending up on your plate somehow. So you've got to be careful about not placing it on the table. So much so that the Mishnah Berurah ends off saying in the last few words of this Siv Katan, many people are makpit not to use starches which are wheat, which have got some wheat based chemicals. You don't use them weeks before Pesach, because you might end up that the starch based clothing might end up on the table, and therefore subsequently might end up in your plate. What do you think about the starches nowadays? Yeah, so it's not so poshut. Many of the starches nowadays are fine, and they are based not on wheat proper. They're based on mainly based on chemicals. Yeah. Lemaisa, what do you think about this glue?
Where's the Shema Yavol Le'Ochlim? So with the eggs and the shirt, we're worried you put it on the table, or whatever the eggs chashash is, when the shirt worries you put it on the table.
See, what's the chashash? How is he not going to end up?
The chashash with the glue, you're not going to be.
Yeah. Good question. What would be the... Good question.
You're not really there from the...
It's not direct, I know. No. So what is the point? That it's not considered ka'afo da'ara? We said that chometz, which is nifsam ne'achilas kelev, is ka'afo da'ara. This might not be considered ka'afo da'ara. You know what? Your question is a valid question. I don't know what the answer is. Yeah. Let's just finish up by starting the question of medicines. Having seen those points that we saw tonight, let's start the question about medicines. What will be the halacha of medicines? What should be the halacha of medicines? Might be a problem.
The question is whether
you're right. But you're saying that. So we have over here is the starting point. There's something which is nifsa mechilas kelev. Should we be okay? Is it nifsa mechilas kelev? Are medicines nifsa mechilas kelev? And would dogs touch medicine?
Yeah.
They would.
Some quite sweet.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a very, very true argument. That a lot of the medicines now, especially for the children, which they have added sugars and taste, I think that certainly it would be called, they're not considered nifsal, miachilas kelef, they are very tasty. But the ones which have not, all those added sugars, probably you could argue that they are nifsal miachilas kelef, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are fine. Because we've seen that there's a chashash shema yovel ochloi, and that needs to be investigated, and that Be'ez Hashem will see that in Siv Dalet. Okay, Rabbi, that's it for this evening. I wish you all a good Shabbos.